appreciate that. Yes, we are nearing the end of this series. It's been an enjoyable series. I hope you've gained from it. And beginning in March, first Sunday in March, will be the first lesson of a new series. While you're getting your handout sheets, you might turn to Genesis 22. That's where we'll be today. Genesis 22. This is, to me, this is one of the most heart-rendering stories in the Bible, one of them, anyway. Fortunately, it has a wonderful ending, and even though you begin reading the story, you already know in your mind, if you've read it before, I know how this turns out, but even until you get to that point, it's so heart-rendering. What Abraham must have felt, what he must have thought, and I'm referring to the story of when God asked Abraham to offer up his son Isaac as a sacrifice, and of course we'll see more of that today. But just every time I read it, I'm like, man, what must have been going through his mind, through his heart, as he painfully tried to follow what the Lord was asking him to do. And praise the Lord, it had a good ending. So. All right, everybody's got a sheet. Your Bible's open to Genesis 22. Let's go ahead and read. We're going to read all the way through to verse 18 eventually. Let's just get the first three verses here to start us off. We'll come back and work our way through the chapter. But Genesis, let me put the next slide up here. Of course, the lesson today is called Having the Faith to Surrender All. Interesting topic. What's it mean to surrender all? Having the faith to surrender all. Let's read these first three verses. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. I suppose you know already what the word tempt means, but in case you don't, it doesn't mean that God was tempting him in a negative way or tempting him to sin. That sort of temptation, it was tempting meaning a test or a trial. He was testing, he was going to test. Putting Abraham to the test, you might say. So he said, Here am I. Verse 2. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, this is the son of the promise, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, watch now, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. If you put yourself in Abraham's shoes right about then, and the fear that would strike your heart, just fear, I mean, the emotions are just raging through you right now. God says, take your son. This is the son for whom they prayed. This is the son that they longed for. This is the son that any father or mother would be like, this is the son that God promised us. And now God is saying, I want you to take that son that you love. He called him his only son. We know that there was Ishmael, but this was the son of promise. Take your only son up on the mountain and offer him as a sacrifice. Lord, this would be good preaching here. This is a great material to preach a great message. But wow, what God was asking Abraham to do. And again, when I read this, it rings my heart. Even though I know the end of the story, getting there is very heart-rending. But let's pray. And we want to look at some things today about this topic of surrender. Lord, we thank you for our class. And as preacher said, this is a time of teaching. It's a time to deepen our knowledge of your word. And so we come this morning hungry and thirsty. We come with anticipation. We come looking to heaven. We come relying on the Holy Spirit of God that indwells us to be the supreme teacher today. Though I stand here and speak with my physical lips, it's really up to the Holy Spirit to do the real teaching. And so we yield ourselves to you the best we know how. We look to you, we look to your word, and ask you to help us this morning. What is it in our lives that we may need to surrender? How can we, as hopefully mature Christians, live a surrendered life? We pray that you'll help us with that today. And we'll certainly thank you for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we look to get started, I want us to first of all consider the definition of this word surrender, which would be your first thing to write down. So it means to cease resistance. Okay, so stop resisting. You know, a lot of Christians resist. I'm not remembering where the passage is. It may be Acts, but the Lord talked about stiff-necked people. He called the Israelites a stiff-necked people. Why is that? Well, because they resisted. They stiffened their neck and they resisted what the Lord was trying to do in their lives. And look, when we surrender, we stop resisting. It also means to submit to authority. To submit. It means to give up or hand over a person, right, or possession. Okay, so it's giving up. It's to abandon oneself entirely. And finally, just simply give in. To give in. That's what the idea of surrender carries with it. Now, most likely, there's nowhere in Scripture where this concept of surrender, is more clearly seen than right here in this story, Genesis chapter 22, looking at Father Abraham, if you will, and God asking him to sacrifice his only son. And so in this lesson, as we work our way through it, it will give us a picture of what it looks like when someone steps out in faith and surrenders to God and to His will, to His revealed will. And so I want us to see three common denominators that are shared by the surrender that Abraham had that will hopefully help us in our journey to be surrendered Christians. So first of all, we want to see the prompting to surrender. And that's what we just looked at. That was verses 1 and 2. I think I put that on your sheet, 1 and 2. So we see in this very first verse here of chapter 22, we see God calling to Abraham and He's prompting Abraham to action. He's prompting him to do something. He's prompting him to make a decision. Let's look at those verses again, verse 1. And it came to pass after those things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, here's the prompting, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. And so there we see that prompting. And here's what it teaches us. If we are sensitive to God's voice, we will find that God in the Christian life will often prompt us in various ways. And a little more specific now, which usually involves a decision. You know, when God speaks to us, and we ought to be listening for the voice of God, right? Let me ask you this. Does God's voice come as a roaring, like a roaring fire? Does it come as an earthquake? Remember that verse that says, God doesn't speak like that. He speaks with what? A still, small voice. It's not very likely that God often shouts at us. I mean, He can. And if He wants to really get our attention after much whispering, He might do that. But God speaks quietly. And He speaks in our heart. He speaks with a still, small voice. Oftentimes, when He's speaking to us, He's prompting us to make a decision. And we ought to be sensitive to His voice. We ought to be tuned in, if you please. And how many Christians are walking around just totally oblivious to the One who lives inside of them and that Holy Spirit that does speak to us with His still, small voice? We're walking around just so engulfed in our own world that we miss His voice. And so we need to be sensitive to His voice. And we need to be sensitive to that prompting that comes from God. And when that prompting does come, we ought to be cognizant of the fact, okay, what is God saying to me? Is He trying to get me to make a decision? Usually that is the case. Not always, but usually. He's trying to influence your life in such a way to bring you to a decision. And when that happens, we will either, you know, that's when faith has to step up. Because we'll either step out in faith, as did Abraham, we'll see that here, or we draw back in fear. Right? We step forward in faith, draw back in fear. Those are the only two choices, really. So let's look at this outline here. So prompting to surrender. Letter A, the prompting's reason, okay, why was this happening? The prompting's reason was to prove Abraham. You'll remember in the verse 1 here, it says that God did tempt, or we could change that word to prove or to try or to test. He's testing Abraham. He's saying, I want to see what Abraham's faith is made of here. You know, it's easy to talk a talk, but sometimes we need to have that put to the test. Do I really mean that? Do I really believe that? Do I really trust God? I say I do, but do I really? And that's when the test may come to show us, to help us to be proved. Do I really mean what I say? Do I really believe what I say I believe? And again, it wasn't a negative temptation, as we often think of temptations. It was simply a trial or a test. When God tests His children, watch this now. He is giving them an opportunity to prove their faith. You know, often when God sends a tester away, we often want to throw up our hands and say, oh, brother, what now what? What's going on now? I just had this problem or that problem, and now this. And you know what? It's an opportunity to have your faith tested. And when we view it that way, you'd be surprised how much it kind of calms out the agitation that you may initially feel. Because anytime a test or a trial shows up, it's our natural human inclination is, oh boy, oh brother, now what? And oftentimes it's simply an opportunity sent by God to prove your faith. And it's a good thing when we pass the test. Amen. We pass the test with flying colors. It's not so good when we bomb out and draw back in fear. So an opportunity to prove our faith. If we think about another Old Testament example of this, it would be Moses in the wilderness. When God was providing for the Israelites some daily sustenance, what was that stuff called? Manna from heaven. Amen. I think I've got the verse here for you. Let's look at this. Yeah. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day that I may prove them. Aha, there's our testing. Whether they will walk in my way or no. Well, what was the test? The test was this. Each day you go out with your little basket and you gather what you need for that day. Now, if you and I were there and we were just acting like normal humans, what are we going to want to do? Get as much as we possibly can. I want to get it for today and tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next day. We want to hoard. God said, no. Because the instruction God gave was, you go out each day, gather for that day. And tomorrow you'll go out and gather for that day. And you'll do this each day. So God wanted to prove them to see if they would have the faith to actually do that. Because when I gather today, do I really know that's going to be here tomorrow? I don't really know that. That's where faith comes in. And so that's another great example of that very thing. The gathering of the manna was an opportunity for the Jews to prove that they trusted God enough to obey Him. Gathering more than was necessary for that day would reveal fear and distrust. But faith would be demonstrated by obediently gathering only what would be necessary for that particular day, and trusting that God would provide more on the following day. And so that was the test, and that's another great example of that. A New Testament example would be found in Corinthians, where Paul encouraged them to be involved in a special offering, and he tells them that their involvement would be an opportunity for them to prove their love. He said in chapter 8, verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to, what's that word? Prove, there it is again. To prove the sincerity of your love. And so we see these repeated examples in Scripture of this opportunity to prove our faith and not to shrink in fear. All right, so that was the reason for this prompting. It was to prove Abraham. Secondly, this prompting of the Lord revealed Abraham's priorities. They revealed his priorities. In the text that we read in verse 1, Abraham answered to God and said these words, Here am I, or here I am. In this statement, Abraham was communicating, listen, he was communicating more than his geographical location. He wasn't telling God, oh yeah, God, I'm right here in this spot. That's not what he was saying. When he said, Here I am, he was saying something much more. He was saying something like, I'm reporting for duty, Lord. Here I am. What do you need? What can I do for you? He was saying, Lord, I am at your disposal. When you realize that you belong to the Lord, this is an important statement, then you also realize that everything you have also belongs to the Lord. Now, I'll jump ahead a little bit here, but this would include your people. This included Isaac, whom God is asking Abraham to offer as a sacrifice. And when Abraham said, Lord, I'm right here, he was saying, Lord, I'm here to do your will. I'm here to do your pleasure. I'm here to do your bidding. I'm showing up for duty. And Lord, you have me all. You have all of me. What would you like? After having said all of that, he was probably shocked to hear what he heard. Offer your son Isaac. Well, I belong to the Lord. That means everything I have belongs to him too. By the way, this is a lesson on giving and stewardship. I didn't say that yet. We're getting to that. As you can see, we're kind of heading that direction. If I belong to the Lord, look up here, then this belongs to the Lord. My wife belongs to the Lord. My son, my car, my dwelling place. Everything I have belongs to Him. And sometimes He asks for things. And it's a test. Are we surrendered? This isn't about a guilt trip. This is about... It's a very simple Christianity 101. Am I surrendered to Him? That's as basic as you can get. That should be one of the first things that any new Christian should learn, that, hey, now that you're a believer, you need to surrender to the Lord. You need to surrender to the baptismal pool. That's the first step. And then as you begin to grow in the Lord, you're going to see many times the Lord asking you to surrender. To surrender. And it's an ongoing thing. So when we understand that we belong to the Lord, then we also understand that everything we have belongs to Him. Well, again, Paul spoke about the Macedonian Christians as an example of generosity. He challenged the Corinthians to look to the Macedonians as an example, and he said to them, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves. They were surrendered right there. See that? They first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So with these Corinthians, what preceded their financial giving was the giving of their own selves. They were surrendered. And that's really what the whole lesson's about today, just being surrendered to the Lord and to His will. So this prompting that we see, the Lord coming to Abraham, prompting him, the reason was to prove him, to test his faith. The reason that was to see, or it revealed his priorities, where did his priorities lie. Thirdly, this prompting required what was precious. Now, in the life of Abraham, this was his most precious possession, his promised son, and whom he loved. God even said that your son whom you love, wants you to take him and offer him. And so it was something very precious. It was as if God was eliminating any doubts in Abraham's mind. God was clear that He wanted Abraham's very best, his son of promise. He was asking for his son, the one who had been promised, prayed for, waited for, and miraculously given in his and Sarah's old age. And so it was something very precious to him. Well, it's not unusual that God would ask of us that which is precious. Especially since He, God, gave His precious Son. Right? Wow. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. How precious that is. And so it's not unusual for Him to ask us for something precious. You know, the Old Testament, when God did ask the Jews for sacrifice, the animals, they were instructed to bring lambs without blemish. In other words, those people had to go out into their fold and find little lambs that were basically perfect. They weren't lame, they weren't, you know, they didn't have any markings, they just were perfect. Those were the ones that were to be offered as sacrifice. And so they found their most precious possessions and brought them. And that's the principle that we're trying to see here. Let me give you a couple of verses here about precious things. Being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, Jesus, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on the Lord's head. Remember the disciples said, whoa, wait a minute, that stuff's expensive. What are you doing? But it was a precious ointment, and she gladly gave it to the Lord. It was an act of surrender. It was great. 1 Peter 1:19, but the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So His blood is very precious, and of course it was shed on our behalf. So those are some things about this prompting and the reason for it. And we saw Abraham's priorities, where his priorities lay. And then sometimes we're asked to give something precious. Well, secondly, let's consider the process of this surrender. And let's read verses 3 through 10 to see that now, because there is a process. So verses 1 and 2, we see the prompting. Starting in verse 3, here's the process. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. This is this next verse is grip your heart right here. Look at this. And Isaac spake to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Wow, he was the lamb. He didn't know it yet. That just gets me. And verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and he laid the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son, and laid him on an altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Wow. That's incredible. And very interesting. Very surrendered. So this process of surrender. As you notice the steps that Abraham took as he surrendered to the Lord and followed God's revealed will, because it was revealed, God was telling it to him, you will find that they are very similar. These steps are very similar to the steps we must take today to follow God. And so we just read those passages, those verses, all the way down to verse 10. Let's look at the outline for this. The process involved preparation. So we have this process of surrender, and it involves preparation. The Bible says that Abraham rose up early in the morning. He prepared the animals. He got the wood. He got the fire. He had his personnel, other young men that were with him who were going to travel with them. And they set out on their trip in order to obey God's command. Well, your surrender and my surrender also follows preparation. Well, let's look at this statement here. This is so important. We do not follow God's will by accident. It just doesn't. Oh, great, it's happening. No, we have to prepare. And it's not by following the path of least resistance. When we determine to follow God, and this is in a lot of areas, we're talking about giving, really, in this lesson, but preparation is required. It just doesn't happen by accident, again, is what we're trying to say here. And so there is this preparation that's involved. Plans need to be laid aside. Other plans may need to be laid aside. Less important issues maybe need to be placed on the back burner. And we need to give priority to what God is trying to get us to do. So there's preparation involved. Secondly, the process involves praise. Praise. Now, we don't necessarily see that. It's not in this text that we just read, verses 3 through 10, we don't necessarily see praise jump out in our face, but it is tucked in there. And I'll try to point that out to you. But surrendering to the Lord, or stepping out in obedience to Him and offering His requested sacrifices, are at their core, listen, a matter of worship. When Abraham said, "Lord, here am I," or "here I am, I'm here at your disposal, whatever you want, I'm willing to do it," God said, "Okay, good, I want you to sacrifice your son." He made preparation, got all the things needed, they started the journey. This whole thing, this whole process of getting ready to offer his son as a sacrifice, at its core is the concept of worship. He was being obedient to his Lord, and he's going to worship God in this way. As scary as it may have been, and I'm sure it was, he was at the core, there's worship. When David, for instance, needed to offer a sacrifice for the children of Israel on one occasion, he also understood that true worship must have a price associated with it. When the Jew, Arunah, offered David some property and some resources necessary to perform a sacrifice, he offered it to him freely. He said, "Here, you just have it." I want you to see what David said. In 2 Samuel 24:24, the king said to Arunah, "Nay," in other words, he said to him, "Here, David, just have it. I'm giving it to you freely. No cost, no charge." He said, "Nay, I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Isn't that an interesting concept, you see? That when we're worshiping God, there is a little cost associated with it and some sacrifice. In the New Testament, Christian giving is often directly linked with the concept of worship and praise. And that's what I was getting at there. So we don't necessarily see that directly in this text, but when it says in verse number, look at verse number 5 again with me. Abraham said to his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and what? Worship." We're going to worship. I'm going to worship the Lord. And in the idea of worship, there's going to be the concept of giving, which he's going to give his son. And there's going to be praise for what God's about to do. Let me show you another passage here in Hebrews. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate," the word communicate is kind of a giving word. "Forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." And so there is praise involved with this process. So preparation, praise. Thirdly, the process involved pressure. Now, any one of us who has a child can imagine the agony. I don't even know if there's words to describe it. Agony is a pretty good word. The agony that was present as Abraham not only heard what God was asking him, but went through the process to do it. Just every step up the mountain, every stick he laid on the fire and was getting it ready, everything, hearing Isaac's, "Oh, Father, here's the wood and there's the fire, but where's the offering?" All of this is just agonizing Abraham, and so there's this intense pressure, well, let's say it this way. The Bible never says that following God and His will for our lives would be easy. Sometimes God does give us a big ask. Sometimes He does ask for precious things. Sometimes He asks us to do things that, as we're doing it, we feel the immense pressure. Praise the Lord, God never before or never again asked anybody to sacrifice their son. Amen. This was the only time that we see in Scripture that this happened. Child sacrifice was a common practice in Mesopotamia back in those days. All the pagans did that. But God never asked His people to do it. But let's get this next statement here, because this is where we learn something. The pressures of our will... That's a big one, right? Am I actually going to follow through with this? I have a choice. When God asks, I can say no. Right? We have a free will. There's the pressure of our culture. And there's the pressure of circumstances. So each of those things will apply resistance to our faith, tempting us to draw back from our decision to surrender. So even after we have surrendered, we could be tempted to draw back. And so that's what that's talking about there. Hebrews 10 says this, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back," there's those words, "my soul shall have no pleasure in him." So interesting. And then lastly, the process involved proving God. It's funny, I was looking at the clock, and I kept seeing the second hand down by the 5. So I thought it was 10:25. Now I'm looking clearly at it, it's 41. We've got 4 minutes. I kept seeing the second hand down below. I've got a lot of time here. I'll just take my time and enjoy this. No, we don't have a lot of time now. Okay, the process involved proving God. So God was proving Abraham, but there's also the opportunity to prove God. Just imagine all the things going through Abraham's heart as Isaac said, "Where's the lamb?" And interesting in verse 5, I want you to see this phrase, because this is really great. Abraham, when he said to the young man, "Abide ye here with the ass, I and the lad will go yonder and worship," what's those next words? "And come again to you." Abraham fully believed in his heart, even though God was asking him something huge, and even though it was very agonizing, somehow Abraham's thought surely God is going to do something awesome here. That's great faith. To say, I'm doing just as God said. I've got the knife, I've got the fire, I've got everything's ready. I'm going to go through with it, but I believe God's going to do something awesome. And God did. And that was him proving the Lord, if you please. Abraham was only able to follow God because he was able to trust God. He trusted God enough to follow through. We need to trust God enough to trust Him with our finances. And if we can apply it that way, let's keep moving. Malachi, here's the proving. God said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house and prove me. Prove me, God said. Prove me now herewith if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There won't even be room for it. Wow. Let's hurry through this last part here. I'm sorry, I got my time mixed up. I didn't look at the clock right. So we see the prompting, we see the process, we see the promise. Amazing promise. When we are willing to surrender, we place ourselves in a position in which God promises to come through and meet our needs. Now we're supposed to read 11 through 18. But instead of reading all of that, I'll take you just straight to the promise. We gotta look at some of these verses. Look at verse 10. Abraham he's raising his hand with the knife. Look at verse 11. Angel of the Lord called out unto him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, he said, here am I. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. And then in verse 13, he looks over and he sees a ram caught, and that's going to be the sacrifice that the Lord's now providing. Verse 16 is the promise. And he said, this is the Lord talking, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, in other words, you followed through, you trusted me, and has not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and the sand which is upon the seashore. Wow. So here's the lesson in a nutshell. We're going to fly through these other points, but let me just give you the conclusion of it. Abraham offered one heir, Isaac. Now, God didn't allow him to go through with it, but he was willing and was ready and had the knife ready. One heir. He offered one thing. God blessed him with a multitude of heirs because of the covenant that God promised him. He said, your seed will be like the stars of heaven and the sand of the seashore. Wow. Millions and millions of people. Which is why they call him Father Abraham, I suppose. So, let's get through these points here real quick. The promise resulted in God's provision. What was that? That was that ram caught in the thicket. He provided for him. God is always on time with His provision. Amen? He's always on time. Our job is to see that we follow God. His job is to see that our needs are met. Amen to that. We follow the Lord. He meets our needs. Jot down this verse, Matthew 6, 31 to 33. Take no thought. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? How are we going to be clothed? God's saying, look, I'm going to take care of all these things. You seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Secondly, the promise required God's providence. It was God's providence that ram would be caught in the thicket. God had it all set up. Providence is an interesting word. It comes from two root words. Video, which is the vidance end of there, and pro, meaning before. God sees before. God saw before what was all happening, what was going to be planned. And He had that ram all prepared for Him. When we draw back and refuse to surrender, we disqualify ourselves from receiving God's providence. So what would happen if Abraham would have said, no, I'm not doing this, and he would have drawn back? He would have missed out on this great blessing. Put this reference, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy paths. And then lastly, the promise recorded God's prediction. In other words, God said, because you surrender to me, I'm going to bless you and multiply you greatly. They say you can count about 3,000 stars with the naked eye, but in comparison, you know, we're talking about all the dust on the seashores and all the stars in the heavens. It was a huge blessing for the one little act of obedience that he did. If you think of it, we must remember that whatever God asks us to offer him, this is beautiful. He has something better and greater to give back to us in exchange for our surrender. Now, we didn't talk a lot about finances in this lesson. It's kind of designed for us to see that. But it's really true in any area of surrender. Any area that we surrender to the Lord, He has something better and greater for us. And then just jot this reference, Luke 6:38. This is the last thing. Give, and it shall be given you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give to your bosom. Wow. All right, well, let's take a break. We'll come back for church. Thank you for your attention.